You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. About 210,000 Idahoans are dealing with food insecurity right now. This is according to the Idaho Food Bank. And of that number, about 70,000 are children. And more than half of the people who are food insecure are workers who make too much money to qualify for SNAP or food stamps. And this issue affects all Idaho communities, including the Wood River Valley, where community leaders are collaborating and coming up with some pretty unique ways to fight this issue. Joining us live in studio are Erin Pathley. She is the Director of Community Engagement and Community Health for St. Luke's Wood River Valley. And joining us on the telephone is Jean Liston. She is the Executive Director of the Hunger Coalition. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jean, I wanted to start with you. Talk to me about what food insecurity looks like in the Wood River Valley. And I ask this question because I think when most people think of the Wood River Valley, we think of Sun Valley. We think of the rich and the famous, you know, coming and recreating and maybe having a home there. But yet there is this other side to the Wood River Valley, which we get down to this issue of food insecurity.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. We definitely hear that a lot. And it is true. There are many families that struggle to make ends meet here. It's such an expensive community, as you can imagine, to live. Blaine County has the eighth most expensive food cost in the nation. And Haley is home to the ninth greatest wealth inequality in the country. So, you know, we've got some big things going against this. The affordable housing is so minimal here that we're really in crisis mode as far as being able to have people afford to live here. And we just saw a report recently where wages in Blaine County fell below the rest of the state for last year. So, you know, people really are struggling to just be able to get by. And the Hunger Coalition has fed one in five people in our county over the last few years. So it's a challenge for many. And what it looks like is, as you said, people that are working, you know, and they may be working several jobs, it's just not enough to make ends meet.
And if you had seen my face when you said that it is Blaine County is the eighth highest place to buy groceries in the nation. Yes, Erin. I mean, we're not talking just Idaho.
Correct.
This is nationwide.
Correct.
How in the world can people then try to be healthy,
right,
and buy the food that they need to do that?
And maintain not only healthy behaviors,
right,
but take good care of their bodies when they have a chronic disease,
mm-hmm,
for instance. So they may already have significant stress in their lives or to their bodies because of health issues. So you add that on top of not being able to have access to affordable, healthy food, and the combination can be just significant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that food insecurity causes a significant increase in the rates of chronic disease. So being able to connect folks who may already have a health issue or prevent them from having a health issue by feeding them well and giving them access to food is just, it's significant.
And before we came on the air, Erin, you and I were talking about how people may not also realize, though, the benefit of living in a place like the Wood River Valley when it comes to the ability to collaborate. So talk to me a little bit about this, because you said, like, you and Jean, for example, can sit down at a table and come up with a program and put it in place.
Yes. I think we benefit living in a small community by being able to build relationships easily, more quickly. We serve a lot of the same people,
mm-hmm,
so we can understand our culture together. We understand the services that the organizations in our community provide, so we can come together and support those that are doing good work, and then also determine, whoa, we have some gaps in X, Y, and Z, because we know what others are doing, and we can easily come to the table and resolve community issues. Mm-hmm. And we've had, Jean and I have worked together, Jean, since 2007. Easy to call on the phone and say, let's sit down and work something, mm-hmm, out together. So the beauty of a small community is also working easily together and connecting easily.
And Jean, for people who may not be aware of the Hunger Coalition, quickly give me, tell me what you do, what your mission is with the coalition.
Right. You know, the Hunger Coalition believes everyone deserves access to healthy food, regardless of their economic circumstances. And we have a farm and a garden. We have a healthy children's food truck. We've got multiple children's food programs. We have a healthy food pantry. And all of this is done with the help of over 400 volunteers. And as I said last year, we fed 1 in 5 people in our community, and over half of them were children. So we've got some innovative programs that we're proud to be able to spearhead. And I want to say that, you know, part of that collaboration that we're able to do in our community is because we have such a generous community. Mm-hmm. Really has allowed us to be responsive and adaptive to the needs of our participants.
And one of the programs I want to touch on is this Veggie RX program, because, Erin, you were seeing some food insecurity issues, as you mentioned, with patients with a chronic illness, in particular with diabetes.
Correct.
Yes?
Correct. So in the Center for Community Health, we have co-located clinical dietitians, and we started, of course, to recognize that the folks they were serving also had additional resource challenges. Mm. And we started screening and intervening, it's called. So asking 2 critical questions about food insecurity. When folks with diabetes were seeing the clinical dietitian, those who indicated having a food insecurity issue were referred to this pilot project that we did with Jean and the Hunger Coalition, which was giving those patients access to 7 pounds of produce a week for 12 weeks and allowing them access not only to the 7 pounds of produce, but all the other programs that our great partner, the Hunger Coalition, provides, education around how to cook fruits and vegetables.
Right, because it doesn't matter if you get the vegetables and fruit if you don't know what to do with them.
Correct. Correct. So trying to really build sort of the resources around those 7 pounds of food. How do you utilize them? How do you store them? How do you connect with other people who are struggling in the same way you are? What are the other things that the Hunger Coalition offered that those folks could also have access to? So it wasn't just about the singular distribution of 7 pounds of produce.
I'm speaking with Erin Paffel, Director of Community Engagement for St. Luke's Wood River Valley, and on the phone, Jean Liston. She is the Executive Director of the Hunger Coalition. We're talking about food insecurity, in particular the Veggie RX program. Mm-hmm. And Jean, there's a part of this too, correct, that if people participated in this pilot program, and if they volunteered with the Hunger Coalition, there were other benefits as well that they would receive?
Right. And so it wasn't necessarily the participants who were asked to volunteer. Every one of the patients that were referred to us got the free food weekly, but we encouraged their family members to come with them to the garden and to the farm and participate in our Volunteer for Veggies program, which is a program where people come and spend an hour digging in the dirt at the farm, and they are able to take home fresh produce with them. And that we created that program really to help eliminate the stigma of food access from people who have too much pride to come to our healthy food pantry. We're willing to work or volunteer in exchange for food. So we created the farm with the idea that this would be an alternative access model. And that Volunteer for Veggies program has been incredibly successful. The first year we were hoping to get 25 families out to participate, and we had 229 people show up. So it's a really popular program. And it's a way, you know, we recognize that food insecurity can be isolating and that social connection with other people is really powerful and really helpful for mental health.
Well,
so
and
we can get not just the participants out there, but their family members to join in was an added benefit.
Well, and there has to be something to this idea, though, of not getting a hand out, but that
correct
idea of a hand up, because for so many people, as we mentioned at the beginning of this interview, these are people who work sometimes 2-3 jobs. So then the idea that they have to ask for help when it comes to food, I mean, you both must have seen this, where all of a sudden when you can participate in this process, you are more likely to then get healthier because of the food that you have access to. Is that a correct assumption?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah. And in fact, the 9 people that participated in the program, one of the things that they expressed at the end of the 12 weeks that was the biggest benefit to them was connecting with other people, right? Being outside, connecting to a community.
Mm-hmm. Knowing you're not alone, right?
Knowing you're not alone, knowing you're not asking for help, you're just part of, you're contributing and you're participating and you belong. And that sense of belonging is, from the mental health perspective, is significant, especially for folks who may feel isolated or embarrassed or lacking social connections. So
you've taken, you are collecting data from this pilot program. Mm-hmm. So what's next then? What do you want to do with the data?
So I'll let, Jean, do you want to speak to that or would you like for me to?
You can start, okay. And then I can add in.
So we have decided to expand the eligible participants to anyone with a chronic disease, not just diabetes. You know, again, recognizing that healthy food is critical to maintaining and being successful in health. So we're going to expand it beyond diabetes. We're already screening for folks through the Center for Community Health, through the Hunger Coalition, and with our clinical dietitians. We will respond a little differently to some of the barriers that people expressed in getting food, which is transportation, and ironically, not ironically, health conditions.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So we will work internally on trying to reduce those barriers, create better access to folks with chronic disease, and continue the program.
So, Jean, how do people, if they want to participate through the Hunger Coalition, do they just find the Hunger Coalition in the Wood River Valley? How does that work?
Yeah, they can certainly come to us or to St. Luke's Center for Community Health. You know, both of our organizations are access points, and we communicate with each other. We just actually had somebody yesterday at our food distribution that was a qualified candidate. We reached out to Erin and her team, and we all agreed that, yes, it made sense to bring this person on board. So it could come from either of us. And there's just a pre-survey that they fill out so we understand the challenges that they have. And then the program will run from July through September.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in. You are doing unique and creative work in the Wood River Valley to make sure that food insecurity hopefully becomes less of an issue, especially in a place that I think most people would not recognize that this is such a pressing issue in your community. So thank you both for coming in today.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jenna.
My guests today have been Erin Pathley, Director of Community Engagement and Community Health for St. Luke's Wood River Valley, and Jean Liston, Executive Director of the Hunger Coalition. Up next, a look at the changing face of wastewater treatment. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.